Ramsey TV.
Martin Zender here, recording on Friday morning, the day that you will get this show, which is very unusual. I usually don't do this. I usually broadcast the night before, record my show the night before, and then next morning, maybe start the editing the night before, and the next morning finish it. But I got up at 5 o'clock. It's about 6:45 now, so it's going to be a short show. It's been a rough night, really. My eyes look like two pee holes in the snow, which is why I'm wearing sunglasses here. I really look shitty, if you ask me. I'm actually running my IV while I'm recording the show here. Antibiotic going up there. Yeah, I had to do the PET scan yesterday, which it's really detailed. They inject you with radioactive isotopes, which is fun. You always like to have that. It's not in a regular plastic syringe. It's in like a metal syringe, right? Because it's radioactive. They pump that in your port. I conveniently have a port for anybody who wants to put whatever they want in there. Line up. I'm selling tickets. And then the lady says, all right, I'll be back in an hour. They put you in this room, this tiny room with no windows and really depressing room. Very small room. I mean, a prison cell's bigger. I'll be back in an hour. I said, an hour? She goes, it'll go fast. Yeah, probably went fast for her. So I guess it depends on who you ask. You know, then went in, and she didn't tell me anything about how long I'd be in this thing. It's more complex and scarier than a CT or MRI. And I've had them all, and I can't tell you the emotions that were welled up in me. It's like I've been arrested by the Romans, taken into the soldiers' barracks. I mean, it's relative. I keep saying that. I keep thinking it's important to say that, so I don't sound like some big giant crybaby. But it's scary. The whole thing's scary because, you know, the doctor's supposed to call today, and I just the pessimist in me thinks this PET scan makes any cancer inside of you just lights up. So I'm just afraid he's going to call and say, oh my God, it's everywhere, you know. That's the negative part of me. But the positive part of me goes with what the doctor said, which you say, it looks like it's just located right there, you know. So, but you never know. You never effing know. And, oh, they have machines that love to find anything. And I already know what I'm going to let them do to me, and I know what I'm not going to let them do to me. Well, I have to discuss this in detail with my wife, of course, with Maria, but nobody's going to alter my body permanently for a coin toss, for a 50-50 chance. Might work, might not. Nobody's going to alter my body permanently. So I got that much figured out. Oh, let's do a scripture lesson today. Not a lesson, that's so formal. I'm going to talk to you. Actually, I'm going to read part of a text that a believer sent me that was pretty good. Speaking of those in that medical world, as I say, they are probably nice people in the medical world and nice people in the religious world. I think there are nicer people in the medical world, actually, than the religious world. Because the people in the medical world only torture you for a short amount of time, and they think they're doing you good. Whereas the religious people, really, unless you join their ranks, they will rejoice in the fact that God is going to torture you for eternity. So they're not very nice people. My friend says their ways are not God's ways. Yeah, and that's the thing. We are in such a minority on the earth who know God's ways. And this got to me this morning, I must say. When you are talking to them, no, not this part. It's the last paragraph. Three paragraphs here. This isn't the part that really got to me, but this is still good. When you're talking to them, you are bringing into their presence the words of aeonian life just by your presence. Well, That's not exactly true. The words of Aeonian life have to do with the announcement of the evangel. I'm not announcing the evangel to anybody, except I will when God presents an opportunity. And God presented an opportunity with a lady that comes here to change the dressing. But no, I'm not bringing into their presence words of Aeonian life simply by my presence, but I am bringing something else, and what that something else is, I'm going to share with you, and you bring it to wherever you go. Now, let's continue with this text I got. There is something to be said about the presence of someone in the body of Christ, but words of Aeonian life must be spoken words. So she's right about the presence, but in this paragraph, not exactly correct about what that presence means. The pushback you may feel is that they are experiencing the aroma of the living God that ascends to God from you. This much is true. This is true. To some it is the fragrance of Aeonian life, to others the opposite. So true. I'm going to read that verse for you. This is what got to me right here. You frighten them more than they frighten you. And on some level, they're either frightened, intimidated, or they hate you. Or they're just acting by instinct. But they're feeling something because of you being a living letter of Christ, no matter where you are. You frighten them more than they frighten you. That's an interesting concept. Because they frighten the hell out of me. And really, they really do. You're so vulnerable in their world. I've been in that world. I've been on the other side. I've been in a uniform with a badge. I was in x-ray school for a year, but I quit because it was so inhumane compared to nursing care. And I remember walking around with a lab coat and a badge, and I remember how that felt. I remember that feeling of superiority, that feeling of being special. I would walk past these poor people in the wheelchairs. I really did have a heart for people then and now. I got lots of people out of the hospital by giving them happiness, making them laugh, talking to them, giving them joy, really, you know, sneaking them food. I wasn't supposed to do that. I remember this one guy, this big black guy, and he was coming out of surgery. He goes, "Man, I could use a pizza." I said, "Jimmy, man, you can't have a pizza. It's not on your diet." "Man, I had a pizza. Nothing would do my soul better than a pizza." "All right, tell you what I'm going to do." Never should have done this. All the health people out there, he was on a bland diet, this guy, right? Everybody, every health professional out there, please forgive me for what I did. I called Pizza Oven, ordered a pizza to be delivered at the ER. I went down there in my nice little uniform, my badge, pick up the pizza at ER, snuck it in a tray, put a towel over the tray, snuck it in his room, and nobody ever enjoyed a pizza more than that guy. And he got out the next day, improved his mood so much. A pizza cured that guy, not whatever freaking medicine he was taking. So it's a beautiful thing. Happiness, joy, pleasure is powerful medicine. You frighten them more than they frighten you. Okay, well, that was a revelation. This is all spiritual, says my friend. Stand up there like David did before Goliath. You are God's ambassador. I am. We all are. We all are ambassadors of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. As of God entreating through us. But that is if I'm entreating, but I'm not actively entreating to anybody in the hospital. I'm just being my usual charming self as much as I can. But yesterday was very depressing. You have the victory through Christ Jesus, says my friend. Thank you. Yes, I do. I appreciate those words. So here's the verse in question, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, starting with verse 12. This is an interesting transition for Paul. Now, on coming to Troas for the evangel of Christ, and a door being opened for me in the Lord. So it sounds positive, right? On coming to Troas for the evangel of Christ, and a door being opened for me. That's the only reason I'll preach. That's the only reason I'll share the evangel, is if I have an open door. like I did with Deidre. Following her to her car now with my scriptures. So this is a strange transition between verse 12 and verse 13. Verse 12, I'm coming to Troas, and a door being opened for me in the Lord. Verse 13, I have no ease in my spirit. He went from, we got an open door, to, I have no ease in my spirit. Why? At my not finding Titus. Paul needs companionship. It's like, thank God, I have Maria. Maria. And when that lady called me yesterday to go into the radiation isotope isolation booth, I left my phone with Maria. That was a big mistake because I found out I was allowed to take my phone, and I sat there for an hour with no phone, so I had to use my hotline to God, you know, praying to God. And I said, would you please go get my wife and have her bring me my phone? She actually did. Nice lady. Went out there. But Maria had already left that little tiny waiting room. It was a pathetic waiting room. And this is at one of the better hospitals in the country, Cleveland Clinic. It's a branch of it in Weston, Florida. Couldn't find my wife. But anyway, not her fault. I would have gotten the hell out of there too. I told her, well, he'll be about an hour 45 to 2 hours. So, Paul doesn't have a Maria, but he's got Titus, but he can't find him. But taking leave of them, I came away into Macedonia. He didn't try too hard, he just gave up. Can't find Titus? What else would you do? Go to Macedonia. Then Paul says in verse 14, this guy jumps around a lot. Now thanks be to God who always gives us a triumph. And always gives us a triumph. Always. Are you kidding me? Sorry. That damn doctor that I had insisted on doing another biopsy, and it hurts like a mf'er. Okay, now thanks be to God who always gives us a triumph in Christ. Got to take Paul's word for it here. And his manifesting is what he is doing. This is not up for opinion. It's not up for discussion. I'm not asking any of you what you think of this. This is just how it is. Manifesting the odor of his knowledge through us in every place. This is an odor of his knowledge. It's not a literal odor, but there's something coming off of us. It's not our knowledge. It's his knowledge inside us. And I don't think it needs to be physically announced. We don't have to say anything for this to happen. For we are a fragrance. See, odor, fragrance, what's going on here? It's something that's not being transmitted via the mouth. It's being transmitted outside of our bodies. I believe it is literally something being transmitted. Just like Paul had pieces of clothing that were passed to people, and people were healed. Well, there's no healing today, but there's something about the body of a saint. These clothes that were in contact with Paul had some power. They actually had power. And I believe that whatever emanates from us, because we have the Spirit of God in us, none of their freaking machines can pick that up. No, they can't pick it up. Not sophisticated enough to pick up the Spirit of God emanating from us. I think my IV's finished. They don't have it. But we're being told here that it's true. In every place we go, even in the isotope isolation booth. And for we are a fragrance of Christ to God. See, it goes from Christ's spirit in us, it goes to God, but in the meantime, it passes through other people. Other people get in the way of it. And here's proof. We are a fragrance of Christ to God. In those who are being saved and in those who are perishing. There's two kinds of people at that hospital. And any place you go, at your work, at your school, at your home. Those who are being saved for aeonian life. This is not eternal life. Everyone's saved for that. This is those being saved for aeonian life. And those who are not. But we are a fragrance. We're the ones emanating the Spirit of God. That's why Paul always wants our words and our deportment to reflect that. And now we are a fragrance of Christ to God in those who are being saved and in those who are perishing. What's the difference? Here's the difference. Verse 16. To these indeed an odor of death for death. To those who are who have been designated beforehand for aeonian death to not receive the evangel. There are many, many, many of those people. We're an odor of death for death. As pleasant as we are, as charming as we are, they hate us because of what we have. They resent it. They don't like it. It makes them sick or whatever. The goodness that comes from us without us saying a word, emanating from us. It's an odor, Paul calls it. It's not a literal odor. Odor is a figure of speech. Fragrance is a figure of speech. Because knowledge doesn't have a smell. But apparently, the odor of his knowledge is manifesting itself. What we know about God's aeonian purpose actually emanates literally from our bodies, just as miraculous power emanated from Paul's body. So that when articles of his clothing were given to the sick, they were healed. That era is over. But the era of us emanating something is not over. The power is not over. It's just different, channeled in a different way. Does a different thing, still there. Indeed, to these, an odor of death for death. They don't get it. They think it's stupid. They look down on us. Sorry about your luck. See you at the great white throne. You will remember this meeting with me. The spirit of knowledge from me emanated, spirit of Christ in me emanated from me to God. You got caught in the crossfire. It did nothing for you because you were not chosen for aeonian life, doctor or nurse or whoever. And so it agitated you. The goodness of the knowledge of Christ in me agitated you. It's an odor of death. Yet to other people, it's an odor of life. For life, maybe our mere presence brings this odor of life, passes through us, and has power on people who have an instinct for God. Paul says, and for this, who is competent? In other words, do you think there could possibly be any competence on our part to be able to manifest this? This is supernatural. It's nothing to do with us consciously making something happen. My voice is going, but we're not competent for this. For we are not as the majority, end with this, verse 17, we are not as the majority who are peddling the word of God. That is, we're not trading the word of God for money, for power, for prestige. We just emanate it freely. It comes out of us just like it comes out of me and you. Coming out of me now. If somebody walked in front of me, they'd get hit. Oh, they'd get hit, even if I didn't say a word. Even if I didn't say a word. Manifesting itself. Using a figure of speech as an odor, as a fragrance. Some people are repelled by it because they can't handle the knowledge of God. Some people are attracted to it because God gave them ears to hear. We're not peddling the word of God. But as of sincerity. As of sincerity. And when we are speaking, when we do speak, it is in the sight of God and of Christ.